This morning, please take your Bible and open to the book of Genesis. We're going to look at chapter 18 and verse 16 to 21. Genesis chapter 18, and we're going to look at verses 16 through 21. The message this morning that I bring to you is going to be mentioning a comparison between the family of Lot and the family of Abraham. And there is quite a difference, quite a sharp contrast between the two. You might remember from the Old Testament book of Genesis that there was a time when Abraham's family and servants and cattle all traveled with Lot's family and servants and cattle. And there came a time where there was so much infighting that was happening that I think God led Abraham to suggest them parting ways. And Abraham gave Lot the first choice. And you can imagine the two standing on a high plateau or mountain and looking over the different areas nearby. And the Bible says about Lot that he looked toward the well-watered plains of Sodom. Now, you and I know that Sodom and Gomorrah were both very wicked cities, but just looking at what Lot could see and thinking about, I'm sure, his cattle and his servants and his family and so forth, he wanted a place where there were well-watered plains. And so based on what he could see, that's the direction he chose. And he went, you know, to settle there. And then Abraham was left to go the opposite way, which was basically a desert land and not well-watered plains like the plains of Sodom. But that's where he was left to go. And, of course, he would take his family and his servants and his cattle, and he would settle there. And eventually God would give him a promised land. Even though, and I'll probably mention this later on in the sermon, he never really himself got to enjoy that promised land, but the promise was given to him of that promised land for his descendants, all right? So if you are familiar with the story at all and what happened, Lot and his family going down to Sodom was a big mistake. And he and his children picked up a lot of the thinking and a lot of the philosophies and a lot of the ways of Sodom. And Sodom and Gomorrah were just getting worse and worse and worse. And the time came when God decided that he was going to destroy that area. And so he mercifully warned Lot that he was going to do that. And when Lot spoke to his family, his children, and his sons-in-law, the Bible says that they laughed at him. They mocked him. And he was able to escape with his wife and I think a daughter or two. And of course, God had said, don't look back, you know, head to the mountains and don't look back. And of course, we know the story that his wife looked back and she was turned into a pillar of salt. And the area of Sodom and Gomorrah was all destroyed. God rained down fire and brimstone upon that area and destroyed all the land and all the people and cities and so forth. And you compare that with Abraham and his family who went towards the wilderness area, and mainly because of their, not the wilderness, but mainly because of their heart for God. They didn't have all those negative influences of Sodom and Gomorrah, but Abraham was able to raise up some pretty good people, you know. I mean, from him would come Isaac and Jacob and eventually the 12 tribes, and we have what we have today as far as the nation of Israel is concerned. But there's a vast difference, a real sharp contrast between the families of Abraham and Lot. And like I mentioned, when Lot was told it's time to leave Sodom and he tried to convince his family to leave, they mocked him and ridiculed him. And so a lot of folks were lost because of that. Abraham's family, of course, quite different. I think we're going to see some of the reasons why right here in this passage that I chose as our text. So I'm going to read Genesis 18, verses 16 to 21. And notice what the Bible says here. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And we'll stop there. Let's just pause and pray, and then I'll continue with my thoughts for today. Father, we want to thank you for this day, and thank you for the privilege that we have to be together and sing these great hymns, and also to open our Bible, which is on our lap, and read and learn some things from it today. I pray, God, as the pastor, as the speaker here this morning, that you would speak through me to your children today and show them and tell them, teach them things that you want them to know and learn and do. And I pray also, Lord, that if there be anyone here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they would trust Jesus and be saved. May all of us be listening very carefully and hear what you have for us today. And may we follow through with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By the way, something that I didn't mention before I prayed, I want to mention right here, because I think this is important also. Abraham gets into this bargaining moments with the Lord and asks God to spare Sodom and Gomorrah, because he knows Lot is there with his family, and he's bartering with God or bargaining with God and asking, you know, if there's 50 righteous, would you not destroy it? God said, okay, for 50 righteous, I won't. I think Abraham's not sure there are 50 righteous, so he drops it down to 45, right? And then God says, okay, for 45, I'll spare it. And then he's not sure there's even 45. So he keeps dropping it down, and you know the story if you've read it. He gets all the way down to 10, bargains it all the way down to 10 with God, and says, if there's 10 righteous in the city, would you not destroy it? And God says, okay, for 10, if there's 10 righteous there, I won't destroy the city. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, meaning that there were not even 10 righteous people that lived there. Showing, I think, what little influence Lot and his family had within that area. I want to suggest to you this morning, and I'm not here to talk about Lot, but I want to suggest to you this morning that Sodom and Gomorrah had more influence on Lot and his family than they had on Sodom and Gomorrah. And I say that for us to all consider, what kind of an influence are we having on, first of all, our family, and secondly, the community where we live? What kind of an influence are we having? Now, Abraham, on the other hand, I think had a great influence on his family and also on people that he would interact with and so forth. Abraham had a tremendous impact on his family and others, and I want to give you three reasons why in this outline. And I call this sermon, by the way, Dedicated to the One We Love. Dedicated to the One We Love. Why did Abraham have such a great influence and Lot did not? And I believe it's found in the title, Dedicated to the One We Love. If you notice verse number 19 of Genesis 18, it says this, God speaking now about Abraham, for I know him, Abraham, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. Children, of course, we understand that's your offspring. Household would be all the servants and folks that work with him and for him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Abraham, First of all, this is my first point, Abraham had dedicated himself to the Lord. He had dedicated himself to the Lord. The Bible says here in verse 19, God says, I know him. For I know him. I don't know what you think about that when you read it, but to me that's a great testimony. I hope that God can say that about me. For I know him. For I know him. How does God know Abraham? Well, you say he's omniscient, he knows everybody. Yeah, that's true, but I think the words are meaning really something different. Not that just God knows about him, but God knows him personally. God knows him. I think because of salvation. I think because Abraham, like the Bible says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Abraham was a saved individual. Abraham knew the Lord God as his Savior. Abraham trusted God and walked with God. That's why God could say, I know him. See? God knows Abraham because of salvation. God also knows Abraham, I believe, because of surrender. You know, God, I think, is influencing Abraham here to allow Lot to have first choice. And you go this way, I'll go the opposite, and you get first choice. God moved in all that, and God moved to where Lot would choose Sodom, and Abraham would be left with the wilderness. God was involved with all that. God was involved in all of Abraham's life and all the things that would take place after that decision was made by Lot to go one way and Abraham go the other. And Abraham was surrendered to that. Lord, whatever you want for me, wouldn't it be better, humanly speaking, to live in the well-watered plains of Sodom? Humanly speaking, it would be a lot better. But boy, the influences there would not be good. And so I think myself, Abraham was probably fine with not going that direction because of all the influences. I would rather be out in the wilderness knowing that God is with me rather than to be in the well-watered plains of Sodom and have all those bad influences on me and my family and my servants. So he was surrendered to whatever the Lord wanted. And God knew that. And that's another reason why God would say there in verse 19, for I know him. I know him because of salvation. I know him because of surrender. I know him, thirdly, because of service. Abraham would spend his life in service to the Lord. Whatever God asked him to do, he tried his best to do it. He was surrendered to that, and he's just going to serve the Lord all of his days. Sometimes God asks people to do things that aren't so pleasant, but that's okay. If you're going to surrender to the Lord and serve the Lord, then you're going to do that because that's what the Lord wants. If you're surrendered to the Lord and you're willing to serve the Lord, you might do something that is very insignificant, that people don't notice, but you're willing to do that because that's what the Lord wants. Service to the Lord, see? And Abraham was like that. He spent his life doing that. And so God says here, for I know him. I know him. It's apparent, by the way, that not only did God know Abraham, but Abraham knew God. Abraham knew God. He walked with God. The Bible says that Abraham was a friend of God. By the way, I'd like that to be said of me also. To be a friend of God. These two people knew each other. Two people being God and Abraham. These two individuals knew each other. And they knew each other well. By the way, how do you get to know another person well? Well, you spend time with them. You walk with them. You talk with them. You go through circumstances together. That's how two people come to know each other. And that's how Abraham and God got to know each other so very well. Because not only did God know Abraham, but Abraham knew God. Now, I want to say this about this point here. Abraham dedicating himself to the Lord. To do what we're talking about requires a price. A price has to be paid to have this kind of a relationship with God. I believe this with all my heart. Lot didn't have that kind of a relationship. Not to the same degree that Abraham had. Did he know the Lord? I think so. The Bible talks about the fact that the wicked behaviors in Sodom and Gomorrah vexed Lot's righteous soul from day to day. So I think he, you know, had a relationship with the Lord, but wasn't near as strong as Abraham's. And Sodom and Gomorrah had a strong influence against Lot as well. But Abraham was willing to pay the price, to dedicate himself to the Lord 100%. And a relationship like that for you and me today also, by the way, requires a price. It won't happen automatically. You have to be willing to pay the price. It means things like this. You have to be willing to read your Bible every day. You have to be willing to talk to God every day in prayer. You have to be willing to be active in your local church and to serve the Lord. And you have to give God first place in your life. There's a lot of things that we could be doing this morning. But we're here. Why? Because we love the Lord. Amen? That's why we're here. We love God and we think this pleases Him. We know it does. And so we're here. A lot of days of the week, including Sundays. And Sunday, today was one of those. Man, I didn't want to get up. I didn't want to get up today at all. I did get up, as you can tell, but I didn't want to. You know, it helps to have a shower and a cup of coffee, but I didn't want to get up. It's just one of those days. I was really, when I was back in Appleton, this goes many, many years back. When I was in Appleton, I was a member of the YMCA, and I used to play basketball with some guys from town, some from our church and some from town. We played basketball several days a week. Early in the morning, we'd get up at 5, be there at 6. We'd play for an hour till 7, and then we'd shower and get dressed and go about our day. And I really miss that, although I don't know if I could do it today. But anyway, I did it then. Okay, and there was a guy that played with us. His name was Harry. And we used to tease when we were getting near the end of that hour of full court basketball, how tired we were. And we used to tease it this way: I'm really dragging Harry today. And we were teasing Harry because he was older than the rest of us at the time and a little slower and all that. So we would tease and say, well, I'm dragging Harry today. Well, I want you to know this morning when I woke up, I was dragging Harry and his whole family. That's how bad I didn't want to get up. But I got up. And we're here like you're here and I'm here because why? We love the Lord. And we want to be in His house and we want to learn about Him. And we want to be like Abraham, dedicated to the Lord. We want to dedicate ourselves to the Lord to do what God wants us to do with our life. You see, Abraham, just like this, when you dedicate yourself to the Lord, you give yourself to Him. You give yourself to Him. And now you belong to Him. And of course, He belongs to you, but because you belong to Him, He gets to order your steps and you do what He wants you to do and so forth. Abraham was that kind of a man. He dedicated himself to the Lord. I want to say again, I want to be like that. I want to be dedicated to the Lord. Second main thought I want to talk with you about this morning is this. Not only did Abraham dedicate himself to the Lord, but I believe that he dedicated his family to the Lord. You notice what the Bible says here in verse 19? For I, God, I know Him, look at this, that He will command His children and His household after Him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Notice again what God says about Abraham. I know Him that He will command His children and His household after Him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. That tells me that he dedicated not only himself, but also his family to the Lord. And God knew that. God says about him several things. Did you notice these? I know that he will command his children after him. When God gives us children, and we're raising children for him, and that's what it's supposed to be, by the way, raising children for God. When God gives us children, when we're raising children for him, we don't have to worry about being their best buddy because we are their parent. The best buddy will come later. The best friend will come later. The deep friendship that you have with your children, that will come later. But when they're small and they're growing up in your home, your responsibility is to be a parent and to raise them and teach them in the ways of the Lord. You know, the admonition of the Lord, as it says in the New Testament. And that's what Abraham apparently did, because the Bible says here, God knew that Abraham would command his children after him. Think about the wording there. Command his children after him. So, I know that they didn't go to church in this time, you know. But if it was church time, you think Abraham would have let his son Isaac just make up his own mind if he wanted to go? No. He would command Isaac to come with him. See? Command his children after him. If it were time to sit down and have family devotions, do you think Abraham would allow Isaac to say, well, you know, I don't really want to be a part of family devotions today? No, he wouldn't give him that choice because he would command his children after him. Now, I understand this, and you do too, that once they're grown and out of the home and they've got their own families, you and I don't have any control or very little. You know, there's things happen and they make decisions and whatever. That's their life. And by the way, you should let them live their life that way. But when they're in your home is what I'm talking about. God says about Abraham that he will command his children after him. And you notice it also applied to his household. For I know him that he will command his children and his household. I have this idea that if the folks that were his servants wouldn't do as Abraham said, they would be relieved of their duties and he'd get someone else to take their place. He would command not only his children, but his household after him. So God says here, I know them. I know him. He will command his children after him. He will command his household after him. Notice it also goes on to say this, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. And they shall keep the way of the Lord. I have had, and I'm sure some of you have had this also, where you're out in public with your family. And again, your kids are small. They're not adult kids. They're small. They're in your home. You've got, hopefully, control. And you're in public, and someone sees them well-behaved and mention that to you. I'm really blessed by how well your children are behaved. They don't back-talk. They don't sass. They do what you ask them to do. They're well-behaved. They're not running all around the restaurant or wherever you are, uncontrolled. They're well-behaved, and they mention that to you. Man, that's a proud moment for a parent. You know that? I bet that happened to Abraham. I bet that happened to him. Now, I can't say it probably happened a lot. In fact, I don't think it did. But God says about Abraham here, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Why is it important for us to teach and to train our children to behave themselves, not only at home, also at church, also out in public? Why is it important for us to do that? Because people watch and people see how we live. And the testimony that we leave with the other people who see us, especially if they know that we're Christians, that reflects back on Jesus Christ. So the way that they behave says an awful lot about how your home is run. It said a lot about Abraham's home. And God knew that about him. Verse 19, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Notice this also, to do justice and judgment. I know that they will do justice and judgment. These are some high praise testimonies for Abraham, you know that? Because God knew him as a man of God who would do these things with his family unit. So Abraham apparently, it doesn't state this here, but it appears to me that he has dedicated his family to the Lord. Now again, there's a price to be paid. There's a price to be paid. Is this easy? It is not easy. It is very difficult. I don't know how it is in your family. Now, I don't have any little girls at home anymore. God gave us four daughters, but I remember when they were still home, we had to spank some more than others. And the discipline that we did was more effective on some than on others. Okay? But one thing I noticed about discipline is it's an awful lot like a bath. It works for a while, but pretty soon you need another one. Discipline was that way with our girls. And again, you try to treat them all similar, but you know that there's differences, and so you treat each one individually at the same time. But discipline is necessary, and training is necessary, and teaching is necessary. There's a price to be paid, and sometimes they won't like it. Sometimes they'll speak out against it. Sometimes, especially as they grow older, you're going to hear their opinions about it. Now, I realize they get to a certain age where you really shouldn't be spanking them anymore, but, you know, especially when they're young. And I think if you do a better job when they're young, you won't have quite as many problems as they get older. But, I mean, you just, it's never easy. It's not an easy thing. And I think this is true. Sometimes you might even feel like you're hated. But it's necessary to be able to turn out young people that love the Lord and serve the Lord and are pleasing to the Lord. You see, when you dedicate yourself and your family to the Lord, you're doing it for the Lord and you're willing to pay that price. And I think God would want us to do the same, by the way. You see, not only does Abraham belong to the Lord, but now so does his family. Because, again, he dedicated it to the Lord, and God knows that. And he states that he knows that here in verse number 19. Did Abraham have to depend on God for help and wisdom and guidance? I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. So point number one this morning is Abraham had dedicated himself to the Lord. Remember the title, Dedicated to the One We Love. He dedicated himself to the Lord. Secondly, he dedicated his family to the Lord. Here's the third thought I want to bring to your attention, and that is, I think Abraham dedicated the results to the Lord. And I say that because when you make the decision initially to dedicate yourself and your family to the Lord, you don't know for sure what the results will be. You have a hope what they will be. You have a goal of what they will be. But you don't have a guarantee of what it will be. Did you ever do this? I did this years ago as a young parent. I used to claim that verse in Proverbs that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I used to take that verse as a 100% guarantee. Then, of course, God gave us four girls, and we've raised them, and they're out on their own, and I've learned that, you know what? That's not a 100% guarantee. It's not. It's just not. Because they become adults and they get to that place where they make their own decisions and everybody has a free will and God doesn't force on them your way or his way. He allows them a lot of times to make decisions that maybe you and I wouldn't make in order to learn lessons and so forth. So you dedicate yourself, your family, but then you dedicate the results to the Lord. Now, you hope, you trust, you pray. But Abraham, again, I see here in verse 19 some wonderful high praises here about him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord, here's the part where the results come in, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. See, Abraham had received some wonderful promises from God concerning a land, right? Concerning his descendants, concerning even the fact that one day the Messiah would come through your offspring. Some wonderful promises were made early on, and God gave them because God knew Abraham and his heart and what he would do. Those promises, would you agree with me this? Those promises sometimes probably seemed way far off. For instance, the Promised Land. Abraham never got to live in the Promised Land, but it was a promise to him. And the Messiah, Abraham never got to see the Messiah, not on earth anyway, but there was a promise given to him. And, you know, the multitudes, like your descendants will become like the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore. Abraham didn't get to see all that. So the promises probably, at one time or another, to him seemed very, very far away. They might have even seemed, and I'm reading into it, I understand that, but they could have even seemed a little bit empty. Because Abraham lived a long, long time and didn't get to see a lot of these things. But I think in his heart he believed and he knew that one day he would receive these promises. He would be richly rewarded for his dedication and his obedience to the Lord. Rewards, of course, on earth, some he didn't get to see and actually, you know, feel and taste and touch and all that. Rewards on earth, but then, of course, rewards in heaven. By the way, Abraham's one of those, isn't he, that's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter on faith and the men and women of faith. Abraham's mentioned there. How many times has Abraham preached about through the generations? hundreds and hundreds of times. His faithfulness to the Lord, his dedication to the Lord, it all paid off in great rewards. He was richly rewarded. All because he dedicated himself and his family, and thirdly, the results to the Lord. Catch this, I'm almost done. Abraham's part was obedience. When it comes to the rewards, Abraham's part was obedience. God's part was the reward. Now that's the same for us. Our part is obedience. God's part is the reward. Abraham did his part and left the results with God and received the good results and good rewards. Same is true for us. Our part is obedience. The rewards come because God's faithful to his word and we just have to leave it with him. So, as we think about Lot and his family and how that turned out, and Abraham and his family and how that turned out, there's a vast difference. There's a vast contrast between the two. And I think it all comes down to the fact that Abraham dedicated himself to the Lord. First himself, secondly his family, and thirdly the results. He was dedicated to the one he loved. He was dedicated to the Lord. Now I want to ask you this before I pray. Are you dedicated to the Lord? Dedicated to the one we love. When my dad was still alive, preaching God's word, and he would talk about salvation and eternal security and things like that, he would always say, don't ever treat your salvation like fire insurance. Meaning that, now I'm saved, I don't have to ever experience the flames of hell. But don't ever treat your salvation just like fire insurance. Because you know what we do? We pay the insurance bill and we put the policy away and we just know that it's there should I ever have a fire. Don't treat your salvation like fire insurance. Treat your salvation like a life that's to be lived, dedicated to the Lord each and every day. That's what I think Abraham did. And I think God knew that about him. And I think that's all found there in verse 19. And my encouragement to all of us today is, let's try to live a life like Abraham. Dedicate ourselves to the Lord, dedicate our family to the Lord, dedicate our results to the Lord, and just trust that God will help us through all of that. Would you stand with me, please? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking. We don't want to embarrass anyone. Heavenly Father, as we pray, speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us with this. Those of us who are done with our child-rearing years and now see our children grown and have families and grandchildren coming and all that, help us to continue to pray for them and encourage them, recognizing it's their family, it's their decisions, but being available when needed and willing to help where we can, but especially then trusting the results with you, Lord. There's so much that's out of our control once they get out on their own. Those of us who still have little children at home or will one day, help us, dear God, to dedicate them to the Lord and ourselves, of course, trusting you to guide us and lead us. Raising families is really a full-time business. And very important business. Help us to take it seriously. And Lord, please help us to do a good job for you. Bless this invitation. Speak to hearts. Help us to make the decisions we need to make. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.